Good morning, church. It's nice to be here, even though it's raining. But the most important thing is that the Lord is with us. And I want to read a few verses on Psalm 149. And it says, praise the Lord. Otherwise in Hebrew, hallelujah. Sing to the Lord a new song. He's praising the assembly of his faithful people. Thank you, people, for being faithful and being here. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. We'll have tambourines today. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in his honor and sing for joy on their beds. Let us pray. The Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us once again the opportunity to meet here, one with another, all together to form a beautiful church that comes to worship you, to praise you as our King and Lord, to acknowledge you as our Maker. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you will touch our minds and our hearts, everything within us. May we really give our best to praise your name, to worship you. And Lord, as we listen to your word, may we learn something new today, and also when we go out, Lord, from this place, let us be doers and not just hearers of the word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now we're going to hand over to the worship team. We have come now, is the time to worship, and Ancient of Days, and that will be followed by the notices and the reading.
Thank you, Vaughan. Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7 says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and flock under his care. And I think this morning, let's worship God because he is God, and we are his people, and he deserves to be praised and worshiped. Let's rise and sing, come, now is the time to worship. this morning with hearts filled with gratitude, knowing that you are our Lord and Savior. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you glory, because all blessing and honor and glory and power belongs to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you, because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The earth declares your goodness. Lord, people worship you for who you are. Lord, this morning, Lord, thank you for the privilege that is ours to come to your throne of grace. And Lord, we worship you to give you praise, give you adoration. Lord, we know a day will come when everybody will worship you. Every knee on earth, Lord, will worship you, the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord Supreme. Lord, thank you that we could have a glimpse of what heaven would be like this morning, worshiping and singing you. Lord, I pray that we would make our lives as an offering. Lord, that we would give our lives to you as an offering, that we would worship you all the days of our life. For you alone are worthy of all our praise and much more. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, on Thursday, as usual, it's our care group Bible study. And on Friday, between 1 and 3, it's our art and craft group. Now, next Sunday, the 24th, it's our annual general meeting. And after that, we're going to have a bring and share meal. If you could bring something savoury, just something small, and something sweet, and we'll share it together and make a feast. So that's something to look forward to after the AGM. Now, we have got a problem with our photocopier, so when it comes to the annual reports and the agenda, there might just be one set of each on your table this coming time. But I will put them online for you as well. Sunday the 31st of March is our Easter Sunday service, and Monday the 8th of April, it's our next over 50s meal, 12:30 till 2. Ladies, Thursday the 18th is a dinner at the Derby Digger, and today is actually your last chance to fill in a form and give it to Sue. If you've got any allergies, please let Sue know that as well. Now, men had a breakfast yesterday. I haven't heard how it went. Lovely. We had some men come and enjoy a lovely full English breakfast. The next men's breakfast is Saturday the 20th of April at 9:30. Now, first reading this morning is from Nehemiah 12, verses 27 to 30, and verse 43. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The singers also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophathites, from Beth Gilgal, and from the area of Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Now Gracia will bring us our second reading.
The second reading today is from Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stands the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity.
Let's continue to sing and give him praise. Life sometimes does not go as planned, but through all circumstances, His grace is sufficient for us, and that's what God says. Through ups and downs of life, He is the ever unchanging one, and His grace is more than enough. And let's sing this song, "Your Grace is Enough, More Than I Need." Fall at your feet. Lord, you gave everything for us. Your son on the cross, life, fullness, health, and freedom from all bondage and sin. Lord, I thank you for that mercy, because you're a God who is good. Your mercy never fails us. And through all our lives, you've been faithful. And we bless you, Lord, for you are a faithful God in our lives.
Thank you.
All our lives, you have been faithful. Lord, we only need to look back at the paths which you've led us. And Lord, that you know you are our good God. You have been faithful in all of it. There's never been a moment in our life, Lord, where we may seem to have stumbled, but Lord, you protected us and you protected our feet from falling. Lord, you've lifted us. You've upholded us and you guided us. Lord, with the breath that you've given in our lives, Lord, we would thank you and sing your goodness all through our lives. No matter come what may, we will sing your goodness. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. And we come now to that time when we think about the needs, especially hope of others. When we think about prayer, very often we come before God with a shopping list. And we start saying all the things we need. And I hope that today we are thinking about someone else. Someone who needs a touch from God, maybe healing, maybe just to feel His grace, His love and compassion. So, as we spend a few moments in prayer, you know, raise your voice if you want to, or just say a silent prayer. And also, among our prayers, we will be thinking today about Bar Hill Church, part of the Eastern Baptist Association. Bar Hill Church is in a ecumenical partnership, and it is a village. Bar Hill is a village just west of Cambridge. So if you don't know Cambridge very well, like me, you know, just imagine Cambridge, a bit west of Cambridge. That's where Bar Hill is. And apparently it's very well known because it has one of the largest Tesco's in the country. But next to that, or in that village, there is a church with about 100 people attending. The church was growing recently and they had to move into a new building. And they moved into the new building in 1995. And now this is a real blessing to know that there are churches that are growing faster than others, but others are growing slowly, but also growing. Praise the Lord for that. And we're grateful for the new minister they had. Let me see where she is. Reverend Wendy Whale. She joined the church recently, not that long ago, apparently, early last year. Okay, so it's not been there that long. And they want us to pray for a number of things. They've got six things here to pray for. And the number one thing is pray for the asylum seekers and refugees. Well, apparently the local hotel was taken over by the government to place asylum seekers there. And that's what made the church start growing fast, because some of these asylum seekers went to that church. The multiple building works needed. Pray for funding. To develop a vision to welcome discipleship and outreach. Pray for the church members that they will be able to exercise their gifts and shape the church's future. For the leaders who are stepping down, and for the developing new leaders, and for the love of Jesus to be visible and attractive to all who live, work, and shop in Bar Hill. Let us then pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we are just grateful to you that you are here in the midst of us, and you are looking into our hearts, listening to our prayers in our thoughts. And I know that before we even brought these prayers to our hearts, to our lips, to our minds, you are already answering. We thank you for the ministry here at Shotgate, and we thank you today, Lord, for the ministry at Bar Hill. Thank you for those asylum seekers that are swelling that church. For the works, Lord, we pray that you will provide the funds for developing vision and leaders. May they be a real witness in Bar Hill, as we pray that we will be faithful to you, our faithful God, here in Shotgate, and be a witness for you. And all this, Lord, we pray not because we want to be a big church or well known in Wickford, but because we want the name of Jesus to be lifted high, and his name will be praised and worshiped by many of our neighbors and friends. And we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We will have one more song, and then Olani will bring us the word of God.
You can be seated for the song and just prepare our hearts and ask God to speak to us this morning.
Thank you and good morning. Good to see you all in this nice weather. Glad to be here and to see you all and to be worshiping God together. The joys of multitasking when you've been looking up there. I'm no longer familiar with the computer. Those who were here wouldn't have seen what was happening up there. My apologies there. Getting carried away. Ancient of, where is the button? Missing the buttons every now and then. When I thought I had found the button, I'll get lost in the worship, forget I'm the one to move the words. And then I wonder, why haven't they moved the words? Yes, it's myself who was supposed to move the words. My apologies for that. I trust the Lord that our worship is from our heart and it's acceptable before God. We enjoyed the men's breakfast yesterday, and we are so looking forward to the next one. We are saying roll on the third week of the next month. And it was absolutely fantastic. And thank you so much to those who help us prepare that breakfast. The majority come with our bellies to fill up and enjoy. But there are those who come and help prepare. They prepare beforehand, even plan it, prepare it. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. We are reflecting through the book of Nehemiah today. This is G2R51. We are striding on. We are pressing on. The notes are available as hard copies at the back or on email. We do email them out, those who wish to have them. But again, we do not want to clog your email inbox, so we don't send them out, generally speaking, unless you wish to have them. Let myself or let Pam know, and we will email them out on a regular basis to yourself to have something to think about, something to reflect on as we build the church together, as we work together with the Lord to build us as a church. Now, Sir Winston Churchill is known for many things. Very well-known, very able and gifted leader with so many things that history has recorded about him, being a great leader, great orator, great thinker. You know, back in the day, they didn't used to be a one-trick pony. Even when you read in the histories, people who were philosophers were also musicians and theologians. They used to, mathematicians and scientists, one person would have so many gifts and so many abilities or fields of study. And so most of us will know Winston Churchill as a political leader, as a very well-able and renowned leader and politically skilled person. And with his oratory, when you say the oratory of Winston Churchill, you know you are talking about the best we have heard, the best in history. One of the things that Winston Churchill did was he was a historian as well. He was a writer. He wrote books. In fact, in particular, his 6 volumes about the history of World War II, some of the well-known works of history. And it's interesting that when the World War II ended and he was beginning to write his books, there was a scandal about the minutes and the notes and the memoirs and the recordings and all the records that he had kept through the World War and through that period. Some argued that these were supposed to be to belong to the state. They were not personal documents. Spare a thought for our friend across the pond who's who's having issues about Mar-a-Lago documents. Did they belong to him or they belong to the state? He is in company. There was a scandal about Churchill. Should those documents be his? Should he be writing? Is he an academic or is he a prime minister? There was that scandal, but anyhow, Winston Churchill had made it a point that during that period in question, he had made clear note that these are personal documents. And so he survived that and he wrote quite detailed history about World War II. Interesting, in his 6 volumes, the 6th one is called, he titled it, The Triumph and Tragedy. Triumph and Tragedy. And the subtitle is How the Great Democracies Triumphed and Thus Were Able to Resume the Follies That Had So Nearly cost them their lives. You can tell the oratory, even in his writing, when you read his words, they roll out so beautifully. How the great democracies triumphed, how they won. And thus they were able to resume the same follies that had so nearly cost them their lives. This may be so well said about the children of Israel, and indeed about us as people of faith, as believers. When God took them out of Egypt, no sooner had he taken them out were they starting to complain and murmur, and they were missing the garlic and the food back in Egypt, and they were protesting against Moses and saying, "You brought us to kill us." No sooner had they been taken out of Egypt were they making an animal, an ox out of gold to worship and say, "This is our God." When they get into the promised land and they settle, they begin drifting away from the laws and from the worship of God. They are taken captivity into Babylon. And when they get there, they settle and they get comfortable. When the time of returning comes, they are not all that keen or interested in returning. Those who choose to return, no sooner have they returned, do they begin to drift away again and get mixed into the world around them, and they drift away from the worship of God. As though the Apostle Paul had this thought in mind when he says, "Those who think they are standing, watch. Keep a watch on your standing, that you do not drift away." And so in Nehemiah, we find the return of the third cohort, the third tranche of the return. In Ezra, we saw the first return led by Zerubbabel, and the second return led by Ezra. And so in Nehemiah, we see a record of the third return. The first and the second returning exiles, the remnant that came back to Jerusalem from exile, they built the temple. They worked on building the temple. And when they finished building the temple, they dedicated it, as we see in Ezra. And in Nehemiah, we find the returning to build the walls around the city. The walls around the city of Jerusalem. And they tell us that when you work out the maths, you find that only about 2% of those who were in exile chose to return. As we mentioned, reflecting on Ezra, that exile was by way of conquest. They were forcibly moved. They were forcibly taken into exile. But when it came to returning, they were given the opportunity and they had to choose. They had to make a choice, make a decision to come back to Jerusalem, make a decision to come back to the freedom that God had called them to, make a decision to come back and build the temple. It didn't happen automatically. It didn't happen by itself. They had to each make a decision. And only about 2% decided to return. The rest were rather comfortable, because when they were living in Babylon, later taken over by Persia, they started enjoying the sense of security. They started enjoying the freedoms within Babylon, and they started enjoying the prosperity. And they were in a settled environment. They didn't want to unsettle the apple cart. And they chose not to return, the majority. Now we find that in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is somewhat living in a pretty comfortable state of affairs. He's a cupbearer before the king. I should have asked Maureen to read the difficult name of that king. Artaxerxes. However you read it. The king had Nehemiah as one cupbearer, was serving in the royal courts of the king. But we find that despite being in that high status, living in the capital city, he says, I was in the citadel of Susa. I was in the capital city, and I was the cupbearer to the king. It says that Nehemiah still inquired about the exiles who had returned. He didn't get caught up in the security and in the status that he was holding at the time. His heart was still with the 2%. They were less than 2% at the time. His heart was still with the minority or the remnant who had returned. And he said, I want to find out how are they doing? And how is the city of God, how is Jerusalem doing? How is the temple doing? And not being carried away by the status and not being afraid of the status quo, he managed to buck the trend. You would have expected him to be politically correct and save his own skin and save his royal place and save his status, and not inquire about those who have gone far away, about 800 miles away. Let them be there, wish them well and hope them well, but enjoy the status that you have. You are serving before the king. How I pray that the securities that we enjoy in our lives do not make our hearts not to turn towards the people of God, not to turn towards the house of God, not to turn towards the worship of God. Even if it means the house of God is not the majority, even if the majority are taking a political stance, the majority are settling in and enjoying what's happening around, Nehemiah says, my heart is with those who are worshiping the Lord. We were talking earlier, reflecting on Paul saying, do not forsake the gathering of the saints, as the manner of some is already. Irrespective of the joys and the status, irrespective of the securities, and how high in society you are, sometimes people get trapped in the societal positions and status, and that makes them not to have the heart for the things of God. But Nehemiah says, how is the house of the Lord doing? How are the remnant doing? Chapter 1, verse 2. He inquired from those who came from Judah, from his brother Hanani, who came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. You see, when he talks about surviving the exile, it doesn't mean physical survival, because the majority were sitting comfortably in exile. But it's spiritual survival. Those who, in spite of the comforts of the day, still had the spiritual call, still answered the call of God into worship. Those are the remnant who survived the attractions and the securities and the safeties of Babylon. And his heart is still with Jerusalem and the remnant. And when he hears the troubled state and the distressed state of the remnant in Jerusalem, Nehemiah was concerned. He expresses his concern. And in verse 4, chapter 1, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah doesn't only ask after the city of God and the temple of God and the people of God, but he has genuine concern for them and he prays for them. What a great place to begin when you have concerns for someone or concerns for something, to begin in prayer. What a privilege we have to carry everything to him in prayer, everything to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes when we face concerns, we try and work it out all in our hands. Yes, it is okay to work hard, but remember to take everything to God in prayer. Nehemiah serves before the king. Nehemiah is in a good state of affairs, but he still is a remnant. Those who know that you got to lift everything to God in prayer. Let the Lord take control. Let the Lord take guide. So Nehemiah is concerned and he prays. He knows that the temple has been built, but the city walls are in ruins. He lamented and fasted and prayed before the Lord. And then he negotiated with the king. Negotiated for time off from work. He negotiated for safety and security of passage. He negotiated for equipment. And you will know where this is going. He did the practical work that was required. He prayed and did the practical work. He didn't end at prayer. Prayed before the Lord and he fasted before God. And then he took action. He did what needed to be done. And when he is given leave, in chapter 2, when he is given leave to go with those who would volunteer to go, in chapter 3, we get to a building site. He gets to Jerusalem. The city walls were all ruins. And he inspects them. And they begin to build. The passage we read talked about how the celebrations were heard afar off when they began to celebrate and praise. I don't know if you've lived next to a building site. I know some who've had building works done at their house recently. One of our neighbors is having their bathroom done. If you are there during the day, you cannot not know there is building works happening there. All the drilling and all the dragging, the hammering and all the noise. When I read chapter 3 of Nehemiah, I almost hear the noise of a building site. It's building, 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 building. We built this, we built that. And they built as different areas, they shared the building. They built different areas, different places. This group built there, the other group built there, but we all built together. Chapter 3 of Nehemiah is, to me, a building site. Start reading it and I hear the noise. The noise that could be heard from afar off. I'm sure people would have said, when they built the temple, because when they built the temple, the noise was only in the quarry. The building of the temple was somewhat quiet. So there is time for quietness. Yet there is time for building the walls. And when they started building the walls, it was a proper building site. I'm sure they didn't have JCB diggers at the time, but the equivalent, I don't know what an equivalent of a JCB digger is in camel terms or what it was, but there was so much noise. Now, I'm going to ask us to do something for chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Nehemiah is a chapter of a building site. It's a noise chapter. You may wonder what the instruments they are doing. The Bible talks about instruments, over 25, 30 instruments of praise. Instruments of worship. I'm going to ask all of us, if you don't mind. Now, Joseph, maybe someone else can do it because do you mind? We're going to do, I'm building a people of power. And every instrument will need to be used. This is Nehemiah chapter 3 in action. If you don't mind, if you don't, you know, any instrument you wish to take, if you can. This is a Nehemiah chapter 3 experience. Ready for Nehemiah chapter 3. It says they were heard from all. I don't know if our neighbors will hear us or over at the post office. I'm not sure if we're going to be heard by the roundabout or by the town center, actually. By the town center. They're going to hear us. Nehemiah chapter 3 is a building site. For I'm building a people of power. It's a building, 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 building site. Any instrument. If you don't have instruments, you'll clap or you'll tap your feet. Any sort of noise, 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 noise. Building site. Now, what one is left? Will I have anything left? I'm building a people of power. I think they heard. I think the neighbors heard that Nehemiah chapter 3 experience. Thank you very much. Nehemiah chapter 3 is a building site. And if you reflect on that chapter, one of the things I notice, that you will notice, is the word repaired that occurs so many times. I didn't count, someone else counted, over 30 times. The word repaired appears in Nehemiah chapter 3. They are building, but it's also talking about repairing. And that repairing is more than restoring something that's broken or that's cracked on the walls or that's chipped away. But repairing there means strengthening, encouraging, making something strong and making it stronger. Not only did they build the walls, but they encouraged, they strengthened the walls. I pray that we are encouraged as we build your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, in your Son. As we build together, I pray that we are encouraged. See how it repeats the word repaired. And see, the good thing about having notes is that I can refer you to the reflections on the notes when I look at the watch. I can say, you'll read the rest in the notes. They faced discouragement from Sanballat, Tobiah, and so many others. Some of the discouragement was from within. Some was from outside. They ended up working with one hand is working and the other hand is carrying a spear. The other hand is carrying a shield. The other hand is fighting. The other hand is ready for protection. And in chapters 8 to 11, when the word came to them, they responded. Chapter 8, we see Ezra reading the law to the people, and the people responded to the words of the law. They responded together. They received the words of the law and they said, Amen. And they are encouraged. See, this is the chapter where we get the phrase and the song that we normally sing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Ezra encouraged them. And they dedicated the walls of the temple. See, after building the walls of Jerusalem, after building the temple, Solomon dedicated the temple. After rebuilding the temple in Ezra, they rededicated the temple. After building the walls of the city, they dedicated them to the Lord. As if to acknowledge that as the Lord is building his work, as the Lord is building our lives, it's not our own strength. The protection that they had was not of their own strength. Nehemiah said, the Lord will protect us. The Lord will hold us secure. The progress that they made, it says, they said, the Lord helped us to build. It wasn't in our own strength. And so whatsoever they did, they dedicated it to the Lord. And so in our reflection, which I call a Nehemiah reflection, Lord, may you help us to have a balanced character as displayed in Nehemiah, being prayerful always without ceasing, and yet being practical, being hands-on, and playing our part, to be strengthened by the joy of the Lord, and yet to lament in prayer, reflection, and dedication. Being tough and resilient, persistent in faith, and yet tender and gentle and gracious towards others, sensitive to God and sensitive to others. Amen. Amen. Our closing song, The Days of Elijah. Now that you still have your Nehemiah chapter 3 instruments, you may feel free to make use of them. Days of Elijah.
Let us close our service in prayer, and allow me to check what I've written from the sermon today, and let us pray that the Lord will make us feel unhappy in the security of our false security of our society. May the Lord make us unhappy and I'm displeased with our status quo. May the Lord make us concerned, not just asking. Lord, when we say, how are you? We often don't have time to think or ask for anything else. Help us, Lord, to take everything to you in prayer. And after praying, get up and do the practical work. Lord, take us out of our comfort zone, into the streets, into the danger, into the dark places, and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And at the end of the day, may we say, like we sang 2 weeks ago, yet not I, but Christ in me. Amen. Let us say the grace to one another as we depart from this place or walk next door for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.